Hey, this is WTOB's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your name and your role with the show.
Hey guys, my name is Vato Tsikurishvili. I play Bottom in this production.
And we're talking about A Midsummer Night's Dream, you know, the Shakespeare classic. It's going to be at Synetic Theater now through July 24th. So, hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me. Truly, truly an honor.
All right. Now, before we get into the actual show, why don't we remind folks really quick, maybe they're new to the area, remind them where Synetic actually is down in Virginia, right?
Located in Crystal City, just right across the street from the Pentagon, really, across the bridge from D.C., right by the metro stop in Crystal City, 1800 South Bell Street, direct address, free parking after 4 p.m.
Gotcha. And so that's sort of like the best way to get there. Once you go inside Synetic, compared to maybe other theaters in the area, is it a little bit more of an intimate space, or, you know, what do you like about working within the actual space of the theater?
Interesting question for me, because I haven't really been to many other spaces and many other theaters. So it's hard for me to compare. I can compare it to like the high schools that I've gone and taught at, and their auditoriums are huge. Yo, some of these high schools have the craziest auditoriums I've ever seen, like full deck out tech and everything. Our space, I think we seat like around 350 roughly. So not too big, not too small. It's just right.
The know? Goldilocks of theater. very cool. Awesome. So let's, you know, without further ado, let's go into the actual show itself. So A Midsummer Night's Dream, it almost needs no introduction. You know, anyone knows Shakespeare knows it, but you know, maybe there's some people that have been living under a rock. What were you, give me the basic, like, premise, you know, who the main characters are, what the basic setup is.
Definitely, we got three groups. The thing I like about Midsummer actually is it's how it's divided so beautifully. There's three groups and three different storylines that kind of intertwine with one another, mm-hmm. and you follow all of them. So one group would be the lovers. You have Lysander, Hermia, Demetrius, Helena, and they have an interesting kind of situation where both the boys only like one of the girls. And so it's a love triangle and conflict. And then Puck, who in our adaptation is also Titania and Oberon's child. We kind of combined what's that character's name? The Changeling Boy with Puck. So
okay.
I had that twist to it. That kind of allows him to be more of like a kid, you know, or the character to be more of a kid. I wouldn't say it's a he. Not this version for sure. Ariel's playing it. So gender neutral, Puck. It's a fairy, and Puck is a very like mischievous young little troublemaker, so to speak. So he goes around and actually tries to fix the situation of the lovers and makes it worse. So all of a sudden, both the boys like the other girl, and all sorts of chaos ensues with their story. You got Oberon with the fairies, and kind of they have a similar situation where they have this tension between them, this conflict over Puck. Puck wants their attention, but is jealous of it, at least in our adaptation. And so he creates this kind of conflict where Titania ends up falling in love with a donkey because of the same magical spell that Puck casts. And in this production, I'm playing that donkey. So, yeah. And
so you're the donkey. All right.
Can I say the other word on air or not?
Say it. You can say it here. I might not put it on the over the radio waves, but you can put it in this. That's fine with me.
Well, I'm that donkey, and the reason
this you're the jack, you're the jackass.
Yeah, I'm the ass. I'm the ass, and the reason he even turns into an ass is because he's an ass of a person too. So Puck notices that about him, decides to play a little prank on him too, and he ends up, you know, getting meeting Titania in a very funny, interesting, kind of silly way. Yeah, and the mechanicals, that's the other troupe. You got the director, and you got Bottom, you got Snug, you got Flute, you got Quince, who's the director, and they're trying to put on a play for the court. It's supposed to be this magical wedding for the king and queen, or the prince and his wife, or soon to be bride, I should say. But they have about 2 days to rehearse, 3 days to rehearse the show. And so there's no time. They're trying to put this piece together. And then all the madness happens with Puck. Bottom disappears somehow, through the magic of Shakespeare, they get back together, and voila, you have this hilarious production that they put on for the court at the end of the play.
Thank you for such a detailed, you know, plot breakdown. I appreciate that, people. That'll help me with my. I got to put together two radio pieces. You gave me plenty of variety. I love it. Tell me, go a little more into your actual character. You know, you're the. You just said you're the. You'll be the. So you're the best donkey since Eddie Murphy and the best jackass since Johnny Knoxville.
Those names, first off, I love both those guys, and I grew up with Jackass. So, like, Johnny Knoxville is a whole nother story, too. I actually saw him recently in a different movie. I can't remember what the movie was, but he was so good. I was mind blown. I did not expect that from Knoxville, but he's awesome. I wouldn't say that, though, because the last guy that played Bottom, Irakli Kafsadze, to me, he's a living legend. He's his, like, he can wink and kill an entire audience with laughter. Like, he's just, like, there's levels to it. He's the top. He's at the top of the mountain. So I'm very much looking up at him. And one of the challenges I had doing this part, well, we've done the show. We've remounted it a few times over the years. The first time we did the show, I was 17, I think. Something like that. I was a kid, 17, 18. And I played Snout. I played the Wall. And still, I think that's my favorite part of the Mechanicals. I loved being the Wall so much.
Oh, great.
And then at some point, I played the director in one of the adaptations. And then... or one of the remounts, and then I ended up as Bottom. And it's always challenging when you do a remount and you're playing someone else's character, someone else's track. And so I learned, I guess the last time we remounted it, when I played Quince, I was still rather young and kind of trying to come into my own as a performer. And so I did my very best to model the character off the previous Quince, who was Ryan Sellers, and he also did a tremendous job. And I saw it back on video, and not gonna lie, I kind of felt like I was like, oh great, here's another like cheap imitation of Ryan or something like that. Like I wasn't organic to me and who I am as a performer and how I am. So when I went to Bottom, the first week we had a 2-week rehearsal process. The first week I was struggling so hard trying to figure out how I could possibly pull off anything Iko, because Iko, we call Irakli Iko for short. Again, Iko is like the penultimate of when it comes to skill and like talent and experience on top of that, plus like art flows through his blood. Like his father in our home country of Georgia is essentially like the Brad Pitt of Georgia. So following in his footsteps, I was like, holy cow. I learned that first week. I was like, there's no way I can be Iko. I can't do Iko. Mm-hmm. So then I had a couple of conversations with the director, Pate. He happens to be my dad also. And then I talked to our costumer, and I don't know, this new take kind of on Mechanicals was born. And so we just went with it, and I think it works. I don't know. I'm inside. So like as a performer, you can't really tell right. if what you're doing is working or not. That's up to the audience to say, and people that see the show. So it feels like performing feels right. Performing feels good. So I'm hoping that the product is also good.
I'm sure it is, my friend. Real quick, if our listeners are on the Synetic website, they might see it listed as one of Synetic's original silent Shakespeare productions. Explain to them what exactly you mean like that.
Exactly by what? Silent Shakespeare?
Yeah. Because we think of Shakespeare, you think of all the eloquent words, and they're supposed to be these great, you know, soliloquies. But what does it mean by silent Shakespeare?
So, you know, when you read Shakespeare or read anything really, and you see the words with your eyes, but then in your mind's eye, in your imagination, you're seeing what those words, like, you're not seeing the words in your imagination. You're seeing the characters, you're seeing the story, you're seeing images.
Right.
So essentially what you're seeing kind of in your imagination, if you were to take that and turn it into a production, that's kind of what it is. This came from Pata's mind, I guess. So I don't know how he does what he does. He's also one of those people that I respect and look up to so much. But he's able to find like take a metaphor, for example, and then he'll make that physical. So you'll see stuff on stage and you'll think of the text. It'll be like the opposite effect. Like usually it's you read and then your imagination does stuff. Well, now you'll be seeing these things and then your imagination is going to remind you of the words of what Shakespeare had written. How he does it, how he puts it together, I've seen him do it over and over for many years at this point, and it still absolutely blows my mind. Awesome. Him and my mom, Ira too. She's the two of them together. I don't think there's anything that they can't tackle. But Shakespeare's got two advantages for us in terms of making it wordless. One, it's so well known, everyone knows the stories, so it's a little bit easier to digest and process and like receive the information and all this. I mean, we're giving you so much stimulus from the stage, not just with our bodies, but with the sound as well. And then, I mean, everyone's flying around and all that. So you're just getting hit with a lot. And sometimes even if it's just like a very small moment, you're still getting hit with so much emotional energy, I guess. Like you're always loaded with something.
I guess before we run, describe, you know, visually what we see in terms of sets, costumes, you know, backdrops, you know, like more of the visual production elements, like paint a visual picture of what we see with that stuff.
Oh my gosh. For this show, for Midsummer, we have a moon upstage. We're very, very minimalistic in this production. So you're not going to get hit with too much like craziness in terms of sets in this play, in terms of set in this play. We have a few asparagus, we call them hanging. They're basically like straw, like fabric tube that hangs. And we have little lights that go up them. So they light up and they add this like very magical quality to the whole show in certain moments, of course. But it's true. It's really beautiful. And the show starts actually in complete blackout and all the fairies go on stage and we're holding candles in our hands. So you see like little fairy lights. It's so beautiful.
Awesome. Magical, fantastical fairy world. Great. All right. Well, I guess the only other thing you kind of alluded to it. But before we run, I would love to hear a little more about your life story. You mentioned, you know, growing up in Georgia and I guess having to flee and come here, and your parents, obviously they co-founded Synetic, right? So I just give me the story of that journey.
All right. So this journey begins. Actually, there's a fun show you can watch on Synetic streaming that basically covers that journey. It's wild. During the quarantine, we wanted to do something artistic, but you know, there's no theater, there's nothing. So what are you going to do? We did a live production called Joy on Zoom with an audience every night for like a month and a half, roughly 4 or 5 times a week. I had the show. It's about, I don't remember how long, like 100 minutes. Like an hour long show. And we found some really cool like live effects that we could do on Zoom. Cause you know how Zoom, like if you use the filters, the background and stuff, they kind of glitch and all this every now and then.
Yeah.
We found a way to utilize those glitches and like make it tell a story too. So I don't know. It came out to be pretty cool, but life in a nutshell. How did Synetic become Synetic? Well, we immigrated to the country in 95. Okay, time out. Let's rewind a little bit more. Soviet collapses in 91. So, and crazy war happened in Georgia just a few years earlier. Very reminiscent to what's going on now, kind of in Ukraine. Same situation.
Yeah.
But I was born after the fight, the war had really ended. And as I guess the country was trying to figure out where it was going and what it was going to do. So lawlessness, chaos, anarchy, like I was so little, I don't like have too many memories. The things that I do remember aren't pleasant. Like my very first toy ever was a handgun, our neighbor's handgun.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was kind of weird, but you know, skipping details, Joy, if you want to know all that, go into Joy. Fast forwarding, we immigrate in 95. In 97, I actually went to Columbus to grow up with my grandparents while my parents were trying to figure out life in America.
Columbus, Ohio?
Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. So I was about 7 to 17, I lived with my grandparents in Columbus. And I'd see my folks maybe like, I don't know, once or twice a year or something like that. If I could make it for an opening, that would be really cool. But they had to figure out, even before any of that happened, they had to figure out like, you know, life in America. You go from the Soviet Union, like literally communism, into capitalism. Total different mindset, total different priorities, total different way of living. Then you have like, that's culture shock. Then you have like the language and not really knowing any English because there was never any plans to come to America.
Right.
It wasn't possible. It was a pipe dream. But in reality, it was just not a thing that, you know, they considered to happen. Fortunately, my grandpa was able to escape, so to speak. He was actually the coach for the Soviet Union in gymnastics, and he coached the U.S. for a little bit too.
Oh, really? What was his name?
Arnold Kletanadze.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he coached me up a lot. Everything I know, actually, I know from him. So he's really the reason why the whole family's even here. He made all that possible.
Wow.
So in 2001, somewhere around there, my folks got discovered by a guy named Andrei Malayev-Babel. He was, I guess, the head of a theater company called Stanislavski Theater Studio, STS, back in the day. I don't believe that company's still around anymore. I'm not exactly sure. But he's really the one that discovered them artistically of that nature. And he put them on, and he brought them into STS. And then my parents started to do their art there, started training actors there. My dad opened up a little branch of STS called Synetic so that he could kind of do his kind of theater and his world and his work. And then Andre could still do his work in his world as well. So a little like, I guess a branch of STS at the time. And then eventually a rift and it'd be split. So STS was STS and then Synetic was Synetic. And so in 2001, they put on the first official Synetic play, which was Hamlet. And of course, you know, my dad's got a degree in mime and film, and my mom's a ballerina. So they're artists, and getting work in this area, not knowing the language, wasn't really feasible. So the only way to really get to make a living doing what you're trained in is to try to make your own. So that's kind of what they tried. They tried to start it up, and they did. So in 2001, Hamlet came out. That was the first of our Wordless Shakespeare series. And people did not know what to expect. We didn't know what to expect. I remember how nervous they were, because you're putting a lot on the line making a decision like that. Like, how do you take something so iconic and then just do it totally upside down almost? Like, Shakespeare's supposed to have words.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're taking the words out. What are you thinking?
Well, your dad, you said, was a mime too, so. Yeah. There you go.
His mime is, oh my gosh. I get told that I'm like, you know, I'm good and this and that every now and then. But like, if you see my dad perform, like, oh, yo, kid, sit down, go to the back. Get that notebook out. Take notes.
Well, he's got some ears on you. You can catch up to him someday, you know, hopefully.
I'm not even thinking about like catching up. I just want to be, you know, try to be me. They've given me so many opportunities. They've given me so many tools. I think it's not so much about catching up or whatnot. It's just discovering me and what I do and how I do and whatnot.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Do your own thing, but you know, blaze your own trail.
I mean, dude, otherwise looking at those shoes, I'm like, there's no way.
There's no way.
I gotta turn left or right. I gotta take another step somewhere, make my own footprint. I gotta try, you know. So yeah, but in 2001 they started Synetic. I ramble a lot, so many apologies for that too.
No, you're fine.
Started Synetic. Press loved it. People loved it. Audiences loved it. There was actually a show. One of the first shows they did was to an audience of four people. There's like 12 people in the cast, and they performed for four people. But in those four was a donor, and she stayed with us for all these years. So she was, I believe that was Ina Milton, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong with the name.
Right.
I was very little at the time.
One
of the four people there was, she became a donor for Synetic for a very, very long time. And really, really helped my dad get acclimated to the US and the American way of business and life and whatnot. Yeah. And then the rest is kind of history, you know. That was the first snowball. And then it just kept snowballing and it turned into what it is today. And hopefully that momentum keeps going forward.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing everything about your journey. You're making it easy on me. Pretend I'm not even here and you're just speaking straight to our audience. You know, just say, hey, everyone, come on out. It's going to be a good time.
Hey, WTOP listeners, this is Vato Tsukurushvili from Synetic Theater, and I'm inviting you out to come see Midsummer Night's Dream while we're still running through July 24th. We run Thursday through Sunday in Crystal City, 1800 South Bell Street, free parking after 4 p.m. Yeah, come holler.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, please. That would be great.